This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
The salt-laden wind whipped through the narrow streets of Blackwater Cove, carrying with it the ever-present stench of rotting fish and something far more insidious. I pulled my worn jacket tighter around my shoulders, quickening my pace as I made my way down to the docks. The early morning fog clung to the weathered buildings, obscuring the upper floors and giving the impression that the town simply faded away into nothingness. I lived in this godforsaken place my entire life, watching as it slowly decayed like a beached whale left to the elements. Blackwater Cove was once a thriving fishing village, but now it's little more than a collection of dilapidated houses and empty storefronts. The fish that once filled our nets have long since disappeared, replaced by other things. As I rounded the corner onto Wharf Street, I nearly collided with Old Man Thetis. His eyes widened in surprise, then narrowed with suspicion.
"Watch where you're going, Ezra,"
he growled, his voice like gravel in the cement mixer.
"Ain't safe to be wandering about, especially not with the tide coming in."
I nodded, trying to step beside him, but his gnarled hand shot out and gripped my arm with surprising strength.
"You'd do well to remember what happened to your paw,"
he hissed, leaning in close enough that I could smell the tobacco on his breath.
"Some things are best left forgotten."
With that cryptic warning, he shambled off, leaving me standing there with a chill that had nothing to do with the autumn air. I shook off the encounter and continued towards the docks, my steps echoing hollowly on the old wooden planks. The fishing boats bobbed listlessly in the gray water, their paint peeling and their decks empty. No one goes out anymore, not since the incident. It's been 3 years since that day, but the memory of it still haunts my dreams. I made my way to the end of the pier, where my own small boat was moored. The Molly's Revenge, named after my mother, who disappeared when I was just a boy. As I untied the ropes and prepared the cast off, I felt the familiar weight of eyes upon me. Glancing back towards the shore, I saw a group of townspeople gathering at the edge of the dock. Their faces were a mixture of concern, fear, and something else. Hunger, perhaps. Or was it envy?
"Ezra!"
a voice called out. It was Octavia, the librarian's daughter, her red hair a stark contrast to the drab surroundings.
"Please don't go out there. You know what happens when the fog rolls in."
I waved her off, trying to ignore the pleas in her voice.
"I'll be fine, Octavia. Someone has to bring in food or we'll all starve."
As I pushed off from the dock, I heard muttering from the assembled crowd. Words like fool and cursed drifted across the water. But I paid them no mind. They didn't understand. They couldn't understand. The fog thickened as I navigated through the channel, the familiar landmarks of the coast disappearing one by one until I was surrounded by a blank gray void. The only sound was the gentle lapping of waves against the hull and the distant mournful cry of the foghorn. I checked my watch, 8:17 a.m. The tide would be turning soon, And with it would come the changes. I had to work quickly. Cutting the engine, I let the boat drift as I prepared my nets. The old techniques didn't work anymore, not since the waters had become tainted. Now we had to use different bait, different methods. Methods that would have horrified our ancestors. From a locked cooler beneath the deck, I retrieved a small cloth-wrapped bundle. My hands trembled slightly as I unwrapped it, revealing a chunk of meat, dark and glistening. I tried not to think about where it had come from, or the muffled screams I'd heard coming from the old cannery last night. With practiced movements, I attached the bait to a specifically designed hook and lowered it into the water. Then, I waited. Minutes ticked by, each one feeling like an eternity. The fog pressed in around me, so thick now that I could barely see the bow of my own boat. And then, I felt it. A subtle change in the air, a shift in the very fabric of reality. The water began to roil and bubble, as if boiling from beneath. A foul stench rose up, making my eyes water and my stomach churn. And then, breaking the surface with a sound like tearing flesh, it appeared. I had seen it before, of course. We all had. But no matter how many times I had witnessed it, the sight never failed to fill me with a primal, instinctual dread. It was massive, easily dwarfing my boat. Its skin, if you could call it that, was a sickly bioluminescent green that pulsed with an inner light. Countless tentacles, each as thick as a man's torso, writhed and twisted in the air. But it was the eyes. Oh God, the eyes that truly captured the horror of this thing. Hundreds of them, ranging in size from a pinhead to a dinner plate, covering its amorphous body, and every single one was fixed on me. I forced myself to breathe, to focus on the task at hand. This was why I came out here, after all. This was the price we paid for our continued existence. With shaking hands, I reached for the harpoon gun mounted on the side of the boat. The harpoon itself was no ordinary weapon. Its tip was fashioned from a strange iridescent metal that had washed up on our shores in the wake of the first appearance. It was the only thing that we found that could pierce the creature's hide. As I took aim, a tendril shot out of the water, wrapping around the boat's railing. Another followed, and another. And the creature was pulling itself closer. Its massive bulk displacing so much water that waves threatened to capsize my small vessel. I fired the harpoon, the recoil nearly knocking me off my feet. There was a sound like shattering glass, and then a shriek that seemed to come from everywhere at once. It was a sound of pain, yes, but also of rage and hunger. The harpoon had found its mark, burying itself deep in what had passed the thing's flesh. Ichor, black as night and thick as tar, oozed from the wound. But instead of retreating, the creature pressed its attack. Tentacles lashed out, slamming against the boat and sending spray everywhere. I stumbled, nearly falling overboard, and in the moment of distraction, a smaller tendril wrapped around my ankle. The touch burned like acid, and I screamed in agony as I was lifted into the air. Dangling upside down, I found myself face to face with the nightmare made flesh. Its countless eyes blinked in unison, and I swear I saw something like recognition in their depths. And then, it spoke. Not with words, not exactly, but somehow, its thoughts invaded my mind, bypassing my ears entirely. The voice was ancient, vast, and utterly alien.
Izra,
it said, and hearing my name in that inhuman tone nearly drove me mad on the spot.
You have come again, as your father did, as his father did.
I thrashed wildly, trying to break free, but the creature's grip was impalpable.
What do you mean?
I managed to gasp out.
What?
The thing seemed almost amused.
I want nothing. I am, and because I am, you are without me. Your kind would have perished long ago.
Memories flashed through my mind. Memories that weren't my own. I saw Blackwater Cove as...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
It once was, centuries ago. I saw the first encounter between my ancestors and this entity. I saw the pact that was made, the price that was paid.
The curse,
I whispered, understanding dawning me like a brutal sunrise.
It's not a curse at all, is it? It's a bargain.
Astute, little one. Yes, a bargain. My presence keeps the waters rich, the storms at bay. In exchange, I require sustenance.
The implications of that last word hit me like a physical blow. The disappearances over the years, the strange meat we had used as bait, the sounds from the cannery. It all made horrifying sense.
But why? I asked, my voice cracking. Why us? Why here?
The creature's thoughts pressed against my mind once more, and I got the distinct impression of amusement.
Why does the tide come in? Why do the stars wheel overhead? I am, and so it must be.
With that, the tentacle around my ankle loosened, dropping me back onto the deck of my boat. I laid there, gasping and shaking, as the entity began to sink beneath the waves.
Remember our bargain, Ezra,
it said, its voice fading.
The next offering is due soon. Do not disappoint me.
And then it was gone, leaving nothing but churning water and the lingering stench of its presence. The fog began to dissipate, revealing the coastline of Blackwater Cove in the distance. As I started the engine and pointed the boat towards home, my mind raced. What was I going to tell the others? How could we continue living like this, knowing the true nature of our curse? But deep down, I knew the answer. We would have to go on as we always had. We would have to make offerings, keep the bargain, and pray that the cosmic horror lurking beneath our waves remained satisfied. Because the alternative, the entity's hunger unleashed upon the world, was too terrible to contemplate. As I approached the dock, I saw the crowd had grown. They were waiting for me, their faces a mix of relief and trepidation. Octavia was at the forefront, her green eyes wide with concern.
Ezra, she called out as I tied up the boat. Are you all right? Did you see it?
I nodded, unable to meet her gaze.
I saw it, I said quietly, and I learned things.
A hush fell over the assembled townspeople. They knew on some level what our ancestors had done. But knowing and understanding are two different things. Thaddeus pushed his way to the front, his craggy face set in grim lines.
Well, boy, out with it. What did the Deep One tell you?
I took a deep breath, steeling myself.
It's not a curse,
I began, my voice gaining strength as I spoke. It's a bargain, a pact made long ago to keep our town safe and prosperous. But the price... I trailed off, unable to voice the horrible truth. But I didn't need to. Understanding dawned on their faces, followed quickly by horror, denial, and finally, resignation. Octavia reached out, taking my hand in hers.
"What do we do now?"
she asked, her voice barely above a whisper. I looked out over the crowd, seeing the fear in their eyes, the weight of generations of secrecy and sacrifice, and I made a decision. "We do what we've always done," I said, my voice carrying across the suddenly silent docks. "We survive, we endure, and we pray that our bargain holds." As the crowd began to disperse, murmuring amongst themselves, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was only the beginning. The entity beneath the waves had revealed itself to me in a way it had never done before. Why now? What had changed? And more importantly, what would it ask of us next? As I walked back in the town, the weight of knowledge heavily on my shoulders, I couldn't help but feel that Blackwater Cove was standing on the precipice of something vast and terrible. The old bargain was shifting, evolving, and I feared that we may not have been prepared for what was to come. But for now, life will go on. The fog would roll in, the tide would turn, and the Deep One would hunger. And we, the people of Blackwater Cove, would continue our ancient dance with forces beyond our comprehension, praying that our steps never falter. For in this cosmic ballot, a single misstep could mean the end of everything we know. As night fell over Blackwater Cove, an uneasy silence settled upon the town. The revelations of the day had shaken everyone to their core, and I could feel the weight of unasked questions hanging in the air like the ever-present fog. I found myself wandering the empty streets, unable to face the confines of my small apartment. The rhythmic crash of the waves against the shore provided a constant backdrop to my crazy thoughts. As I passed by the old town hall, a flicker of light from within caught my eye. Approaching cautiously, I peered through one of the grimy windows. Inside, I could make out a gathering of the town's elders. Thaddeus, Mayor Cordina Blackwood, Dr. Elias Marsh, and a few others I recognized but couldn't name. Their faces were grave as they huddled around a table strewn with ancient-looking documents. A hand on my shoulder nearly made me jump out of my skin. I whirled around to find Octavia standing there, her eyes wide with concern.
"Ezra," she whispered, "what are you doing out here?"
I gestured towards the window.
"Something's going on. The elders are meeting."
Octavia's brow furrowed.
"After what you told us today, I'm not surprised. But why all the secrecy?"
Before I could respond, the town hall door creaked open. Mayor Blackwood's weathered face appeared in the gap, her steel-gray hair gleaming in the lamplight.
"Ezra! Octavia!"
she said, her voice carrying a hint of resignation.
"I suppose you better come inside. There are things you need to know."
Exchanging a nervous glance, Octavia and I followed the mayor into the musty interior of the town hall. The other elders looked up at us as we entered, their expressions a mix of wariness and something that looked unsettlingly like pity.
"Sit down, both of you,"
Thaddeus growled, gesturing to a pair of empty chairs. As we took our seats, Dr. Marsh cleared his throat.
"Ezra, what you experienced today is not unprecedented. Every few generations, the entity reveals more of itself to one of us, usually to a member of your family line."
I felt a chill run down my spine. "My father?"
Mayor Blackwood nodded solemnly.
"And your grandfather before him. The Winthrop family has long been favored, if that's the right word, by the creature beneath the waves."
"But why?" I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. "What makes us special?"
The elders exchanged uneasy glances before Thaddeus spoke up.
It goes back to the founding of Blackwater Cove. Your ancestor, Jeremiah Winthrop, they were the one who first made contact with the entity. He struck the original bargain.
Octavia leaned forward, her face pale in the flickering lamplight.
What exactly was the bargain? What did Jeremiah promise?
Dr. Marsh sighed heavily.
Protection from the town, bountiful fish from our waters, the safety from the storms that plagued this coast, in exchange?
He trailed off, unable to continue. In exchange for sacrifices, I finished, the words tasting like ash in my mouth. Mayor Blackwood nodded grimly.
At first, it was fish and livestock, but as the years passed, the entity's appetite changed, grew.
The implications hung in the air, unspoken.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
But understood by all. I thought of the disappearances over the years, the strange meat we had used as bait, the sounds from the old cannery. My stomach churned.
But why tell us now?
Octavia asked, her voice shaking slightly.
Why break generations of secrecy?
Thaddeus leaned forward, his wild eyes fixed on me.
Because the bargain is changing, boy. You felt it today, didn't you? The entity is evolving. Its hunger is growing.
I nodded slowly, remembering the alien presence that had invaded my mind. It said the next offering is due soon, but it felt different this time, more urgent. Mayor Blackwood stood, pacing the length of the room.
We've managed to keep the worst of it contained for the generations, limiting the sacrifices to those who wouldn't be missed, drifters, the occasional tourist, but I fear that soon that won't be enough.
A heavy silence fell over the room as the implications of her words sank in. Finally, Octavia spoke up, her voice barely above a whisper.
So what do we do?
Dr. Marsh spread his hands in a gesture of hopelessness.
We don't know. The old methods, the rituals passed down through the generations, they may not be good enough anymore. We need to find a new way to appease the entity or...
Or what? I demanded, a spark of anger cutting through my fear. We'll let it destroy the town, unleash it on the world? Thaddeus slammed his gnarled fist on the table.
Of course not, boy, but we're running out of options and time.
Mayor Blackwood turned to face us, her expression grave.
That's why we decided to bring you two in on this, Ezra. As a Winthrop, you have a connection to the entity that none of us can fully understand. And Octavia, your family's knowledge of the old ways, the forgotten lore, it may be our only hope in finding a solution.
I felt the weight of responsibility settle on my shoulders like a physical burden. Beside me, Octavia sat up straighter, a determined glint in her eyes.
Where do we start? She asked.
Dr. Marsh gestured to the pile of documents on the table.
These are all the records we face in the past encounters, rituals, and offerings. Some date back to the town's founding. We need to go through them, look for any clues or patterns that may help us to understand what's changing and how to adapt.
As we began the shift through the yellowed papers and crumbling ledgers, a sense of urgency filled the room. Outside, the fog thickened, and the distant cry of the foghorn seemed to take on a mournful, almost plaintive tone. We worked through the night, poring over accounts of past sacrifices, deciphering cryptic notes left by long-dead town elders, and trying to piece together a coherent picture of the entity's nature and desires. As the first light of dawn began to filter through the grimy windows, I sat back, rubbing my tired eyes. "There's something here," I muttered, more to myself than to the others. Some pattern were not seen. Octavia looked up from the book she was studying, her red hair disheveled from hours of work.
"What do you mean?"
I shook my head, frustrated. "I don't know. It's just a feeling, like we're missing some crucial piece of information." Mayor Blackwood, who had been dozing in the corner, stirred at my words.
"Perhaps," she said slowly. "It's time we visited the old lighthouse."
The others in the room stiffened at her words. Thaddeus opened his mouth as if in protest, but a sharp look from the mayor silenced him. "The lighthouse?" I asked, confused. "What's so special about it?" Dr. Marsh cleared his throat nervously. "The old lighthouse has been abandoned for decades. It's said to be, well, cursed. Even more so than the rest of the town." Octavia's eyes widened in realization.
"The keeper's logs, of course. The lighthouse keeper would have had a unique vantage point, both literally and figuratively."
Mayor Blackwood nodded grimly.
"Exactly. If there are answers to be found, they may be hidden in those logs. But I warn you, the lighthouse is not a place to be taken lightly. There are reasons we kept it off limits all these years."
As I looked around the room at the faces of the town elders, I could see a mixture of fear and resignation in their eyes. Whatever secrets the lighthouse held, they were clearly terrified of what we may uncover. But we were out of options. With the entity's hunger growing and the old bargain failing, we needed answers. And if those answers laid within the crumbling walls of the abandoned lighthouse, then that's where we had to go.
"When do we leave?" I asked, already knowing the answer.
"As soon as the tide turns," Mayor Blackwood replied, her voice heavy with the weight of unspoken fears.
"May God have mercy on your souls."
As we began to gather supplies for our journey to the lighthouse, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were about to uncover something that would change Blackwater Cove forever. Whether for better or worse remained to be seen. The fog outside seemed to thicken, as if in response to our plans, and in the distance, I swore I could hear something massive stirring beneath the waves. Our time was running out, and the secrets of the lighthouse beckoned. Little did we know that the horrors that we had faced so far were merely a prelude to the cosmic terrors that awaited us in the abandoned tower by the sea. As we approached the dilapidated lighthouse, the fog seemed to part before us, as if granting us passage. The ancient structure loomed above, its paint long since weathered away, leaving behind a skeletal frame that creaked and groaned in the salty breeze. Octavia and I exchanged a nervous glance before pushing open the rusted door. The interior was a mess of cobwebs and decay, but our eyes were drawn to a heavy iron trap door in the floor, secured with a padlock that looked far too new.
"This wasn't here before," Mayor Blackwood muttered, producing a key from her pocket. "We had it installed years ago to keep people out and perhaps to keep something in."
The lock clicked open, and we descended into the darkness below. The beam of our flashlights revealed a circular room, its walls covered in strange, undulating symbols that seemed to shift and writhe in the flickering light. In the center stood a pedestal, upon which rested a leather-bound book, the Keeper's Log. As I reached for it, a chill ran down my spine, and I heard a faint whisper, as if the very air around us was alive with secrets. We spent hours poring over the log, deciphering and increasingly manic scribblings of generations of lighthouse keepers. As we read, a terrifying picture began to emerge. The entity beneath the waves was no mere creature, but a fragment of something far vaster and more incomprehensible. It had been drawn to our reality by the cosmic alignments that occurred at the founding of Blackwater Cove, and the original bargain had bound it to this place. But that binding was weakening. With each passing year, each sacrifice, the entity grew stronger, more aware. It was not content to merely exist in our world. It wanted to fully manifest, to draw more of its unfathomable bulk into our reality.
This is why the bargain is changing, Octavia whispered, her face pale in the dim light. It's preparing for something bigger.
As if in response to her words, the ground beneath us began to tremble. From somewhere far below, we heard a sound that was part roar, part scream, and wholly alien.
It knows we're here, I said, my heart pounding. It knows we discovered the truth.
Mayor Blackwood's face was grim as she turned to us.
Then we have no choice. We must complete the ritual described in these pages. It's the only way to reinforce the binding and push the entity back.
The ritual was complex and horrifying, requiring blood from a Winthrop and words in a language that hurt to pronounce. As we prepared, I could feel the entity's rage building, the very air around us growing thick and oppressive. With trembling hands, I cut my palm, letting the blood drip onto the symbols etched into the floor. Octavia began the chant, her voice growing in strength as the words took on a life of their own. The room began to spin. Reality itself seemed to warp and bend around us. I caught glimpses of impossible geometries, of vast, dark spaces between the stars. And through it all, I felt the entity's presence, ancient, vast, and utterly alien. For a moment that stretched into eternity, we teetered on the brink of oblivion. The entity raged against the bindings. Its fury threatened to tear apart the vast fabric of our world. But then slowly, it began to recede. The symbols on the walls flared with eldritch light, and I heard a sound like the universe itself groaning in protest. And then suddenly, it was over. We collapsed to the floor, gasping for breath. The oppressive presence was gone, replaced by a stillness that felt almost holy in its intensity.
Is it done? Octavia asked, her voice hoarse.
Mayor Blackwood nodded slowly, her eyes wide with a mixture of relief and residual terror.
For now, we bought ourselves some time, reinforced the old bindings, but...
But it's not over. I finished for her. It'll never truly be over, will it? She shook her head sadly.
No, Ezra. This is the burden we bear, the price we pay for our town's existence. We pushed back the darkness for now, but it will always be here waiting.
As we emerged from the lighthouse, I was struck by how normal everything looked. The fog had lifted, and I could see fishing boats heading out to sea, their crews unaware of the cosmic horror we had just faced. In the days that followed, life in Blackwater Cove slowly returned to what passed for normal. The fish returned to our waters, and the oppressive atmosphere that had hung over the town began to lift. But for those of us who knew the truth, things would never be the same. We had glimpsed something beyond human comprehension, and that knowledge weighed heavily upon us. The entity was contained for now, but we knew it was still there, lurking beneath the waves, biding its time. As I stood on the docks one evening, watching the sunset over the ocean, Octavia joined me. She slipped her hand into mine, a gesture of comfort and shared understanding.
Do you think we'll ever be free of it? She asked quietly.
I sighed, looking out at the seemingly peaceful waters.
I don't know. Maybe someday we'll figure a way to break the bargain for good, or maybe this is just our lot in life. To stand guard against the darkness, to keep the rest of the world safe from what lies beneath.
She nodded, leaning her head onto my shoulder.
At least we're not alone in this anymore.
As we stood there, I felt a complex mix of emotions wash over me. relief at having averted disaster, pride in our small town's resilience, and a deep abiding sense of responsibility. But underneath it all was a current of dread, a knowledge that our victory was temporary at best. The entity would return, its hunger renewed, and when it did, we would be here, ready to face it again. For that was the true curse of Blackwater Cove. Not the bargain itself, but the burden of knowing what lurked just beyond the veil of our reality. As the last light faded from the sky, I squeezed Octavia's hand, drawing strength from her presence. Whatever came next, we would face it together. And for now, that was enough. The sea stretched out before us, calm and inscrutable, keeping its secrets hidden beneath the waves. And somewhere in its depths, something ancient and vast waited, dreaming of the day it would rise again.